Some people think that Christians are people who deny sexuality and think it's all wrong. Quite the opposite.
Elizabeth Elliot says, Hollywood's notion of love is millions of miles from the slightest comprehension of what the love of God is all about. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of Quest for Love and Love Has a Price Tag, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again about chastity. Our subject has been bringing our sexual desires under the lordship of Jesus Christ. We're talking not about getting rid of sexual desire. I have never suggested that you are going to get rid of your desire, but I'm talking about bringing them under control. When you train a racehorse, you don't get rid of the horse. You bring his wildness under restraint, or you rein him in. Restraint brings greater power. Obedience brings greater joy. Thousands can testify to the power and the joy that chastity has brought in their lives. And thousands can also testify to the opposite, to what casual sex has done in their lives. Has it brought you deep, lasting, pure satisfaction, you who have tried it? Haven't you discovered that you have been ruining the lovely thing that God had in mind? That it didn't result in the deep satisfaction that you were so desperately searching for? Quite the opposite, in fact. It resulted in very deep disturbance and dissatisfaction. My files are full of letters from people who have gone this route. And they tell me their sad stories, how unsatisfying it was, how destructive, how disturbing, how deeply they regret it, how much they wish they could undo the whole past. So I'm speaking primarily right now to people whose chastity is still intact. Don't try to ignore your sexuality. And don't despise it either. There's a great misconception about Christians. Some people think that Christians are people who deny sexuality and think it's all wrong. Quite the opposite, you know. Christians are very earthy people. Christians recognize that God himself took upon himself human flesh, that we don't have a high priest who can't be touched with the feelings of our weakness. He was touched with those very same feelings. He was tempted in every point as we are. We do not despise it. We do not ignore it. We acknowledge it for the powerful gift which it is given by our Creator. And we bring it willingly and gladly to his feet as an offering. But I want arms around me. I want warmth and breath and flesh on flesh and physical pleasure, we say. Of course, it's natural. That's the way we're made. God knows all about that. He was a man. He had the natural desire of a man for a woman. But he knew that that was not the sole means of fulfillment. He said, "It is my delight to do thy will. My meat is to do the will of him who sent me." And in 1 John, the 4th chapter, we read, "But you, my children, are of God's family, and you have the mastery over these false prophets, because he who inspires you is greater than he who inspires the godless world. They are of that world, and so therefore is their teaching. That is why the world listens to them. But we belong to God, and a man who knows God listens to us, while he who does not belong to God refuses us a hearing. That is how we distinguish the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but the unloving know nothing of God, For God is love, and his love was disclosed to us in this, that he sent his only Son into the world to bring us life. Now let me interject here. This is a passage not about love as the world would define it. The world almost invariably links the word sex with love, and their idea of love has nothing to do with sacrifice. Love, in the scriptures, is invariably linked with self-giving, sacrifice, and discipline. God is love, and his love was disclosed to us in this, that he sent his only Son into the world to bring us life. The love I speak of is not our love for God, but the love he showed to us in sending his Son as the remedy for the defilement of our sins. If God loved us, dear friends, we in turn are bound to love one another. And he goes on to say that there is no fear in love, but perfect love banishes fear. God is the source of love. I'm not quoting anymore. God is the source of love. He is real and very demanding. And his love deepens as we learn to know him. Our love for him deepens and brings with it a deepening sense of responsibility, which is a sign of maturity. When we love someone, we have a deepening sense of responsibility for that person. We're more interested in their good than in ours. Now, all of us, married or single, must give testimony to the mystery of Christ in the church in different ways. It's very plain from Ephesians 5 that the love between a husband and wife represents, in a mysterious way, the love of Christ and his church. Christ is the bridegroom, the church is the bride. And a husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church, in other words, sacrificially. And the wife is to respect and to submit to her husband as the church submits to Christ. But suppose you're single. In what way do you give testimony to the mystery of Christ in the church? Well, by a life wholly given to the kingdom. By surrendering yourself, body and soul, to Christ as your heavenly bridegroom. This calling opens the eyes of the single person to the human heart, to a deeper knowledge and understanding. I think there have been a good many celibate people in the world who have had an astonishing depth of understanding of the human heart, not because they have experienced human love and marriage and physical fatherhood and motherhood, but because their lives have been wholly given to the kingdom of God, and in their self-giving they have gained their maturity. The measure of your maturity is the measure of your self-giving. I would encourage you who don't have a husband or a wife to think of the fact that you are to give testimony to the mystery of Christ and the church in your single life. I love those words of Ugo Bassi's, "Measure thy life by loss and not by gain, not by the wine drunk, but by the wine poured forth. For love's strength stands in love's sacrifice, and he that suffereth most hath most to give." Loneliness is a form of suffering. Will you give it to him? The greater your longing for love, the greater is your capacity to receive the love of God, the greater your ability to enter into a more intimate relationship with him. And then in becoming more like him in love, you can reveal him to the world. My own life has been unspeakably enriched by the single people who, in willingly and gladly accepting their singleness, have poured out their lives for me, for the world, for others. Christ's own intimacy with his Father was the secret of his revealing the Father to the world. If we want to be followers of Christ, the more deeply we enter in to our identification with Him, the more clearly we will reveal His Father to the world. The more perfect will be our reflection of God. Sacrifice affects everybody. One person's sacrifice can affect the whole body of Christ. It can affect the whole world. Christ's sacrifice provides salvation for the whole world. When you think of offering to God this seemingly worthless gift of singleness and chastity, don't forget that every offered thing has spiritual and eternal dimensions. If your sexuality has been given to God, remember that it was given to you in the first place to give back to Him. Singleness is what God has given you now. He has not given you a husband or wife. And so, singleness then becomes your gift to Him. In this way, it is a testimony to the mystery of Christ in the church. There is to be chastity in both the singles and the married, in that we are to abstain from all relationships which are forbidden. May God enable you to preserve that, to make it a gift to Him daily for His glory.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.